And welcome to the Half Guard. I'm your host, Mitch Palm. My co-host, Dan Ford. Dan, next to you, we have a special guest.
Yeah, those of you who listened to last year's Big 12 preview, this should come as no surprise. This is our resident Texan, our resident Big 12 expert, somebody who actually knows where TCU is and could find it on a map. It's Darren Donald Francis Weber.
Thanks for having me, guys. And yeah, I have been by TCU. It is as purple as they say it is.
What is a TCU? Like, tell us all about TCU.
Good question.
I want to lead off with TCU, because the thing about TCU is that I think for most people, it's just like Gary Patterson sweating. But like, that's an actual school with people.
Yeah, like people go there and like they do things and like they have like classes and they buildings. It's like a real college campus, but you're kind of just like, it's not Dallas. So it's like, why do you exist? And I think that's just kind of fun about TCU is like, Fort Worth is kind of like the shitty, you know, redhead stepchild that always kind of gets stepped over on Dallas. So, like, when you go over there, you're just kind of like, why are you here? You know you could go somewhere else, right? Like, you don't have to be here. And you just kind of look around and you're just like, oh, well, I guess if you want to do this.
Have you ever actually ran into...
And yeah, that's the other thing. It's kind of like running into a Wake Forest kid in Winston-Salem. Like, it just doesn't happen. You know it's there, or you think it's there.
You There's got to be one somewhere.
But you're just like, maybe they exist, maybe they don't. I don't really know.
I kind of agree with this, because I don't really remember LaDainian Thomas to San Diego.
Well, they were in the WAC at the time. TCU started winning,
even,
like,
but maybe that going, was made
like
up
winning then. 10 games. That is true. Up. It might have been made up. That's the other alternate. LaDainian Tomlinson might have just rolled out like out of the dirt with like a false history.
Yeah, you know? It's a false flag.
I mean, you know, our dear Texas father, you know, Alex Jones has been kicked off social media. So it's up to us to continue his great tradition.
Not Twitter, Dan. The people.
Sure. The message board run by like that one idiot who's screaming about free speech and free ideas.
The best mod of all. But yeah, before we're going to preview the Big 12, we got a nice little twist. But Dan, let's start off. Urban Meyer, what do we think?
Well, if I had to put money on all this, given who they've brought in, you know, Ohio State has put in a commission. It's a six-person commission. Three members are from Ohio State. I think they're board of trustee members, but they're people from Ohio State, and then three outsiders. It's being led by a lady who did some pretty heavy-hitting investigation at other large institutions.
Nancy Grace.
Yeah, Nancy Grace. She's going to lead off. Does she still have a TV show?
No, she probably is like a...
Like that was a thing when we were in college that everybody was mad about, before we had real things to be mad about. We're just like, Nancy Grace is being really mean to these, like, always some mom whose daughter died or kid died. And it was like, she clearly strangled it and cut its throat.
He had
died of leukemia. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? She left a baby in the car. Well, it was like 30 degrees outside. She cracked a window. Like, what are you? But, you know, they turned it over to like a serious investigator who's investigated like many major colleges and institutions and whatnot. And to me, the way I read this is they're just setting the ground to fire him. But, I mean, he's got $48 million left on his contract. That's no joke. So they want to make sure, to me, this is all them trying to make sure that they fire him in a way where it'll stand up and they won't have to end up paying him. That's my take on it. What do you fellas?
Well, I think he stays. I think if you're going to fire him, that's kind of the longer this drags on, the more likely he stays. Maybe he misses or something weird.
See, I think that there's a bad track record with those kind of things. Like the things that start off as suspension, like that almost always turn to a fire because everybody figures out that this is untenable. Like they always try to do like the half met, thinking maybe we can get away with just this, and then a couple games into the season they realize, nah, we're not going to be able to just do this.
I don't know. This is Urban Meyer, though, so...
But it's Ohio State. Like, they can go hire another great coach tomorrow.
No, but like, Urban Meyer, like, always gets away.
Does he? I mean, he had to run out of Florida. He had to escape Florida,
yeah,
like, in the
Sanford.
Middle of the night.
Just like Frank could do it for our Big Ten compared to... Fred Meyer is like Fred Sanford. That's how he gets a heart attack.
That is true, but the... Ohio State has fired people who accomplished more than Urban. Like, they fired Woody Hayes in the 70s.
He punched a guy.
I mean, that was kind of okay in society at the time.
Well, you'd not interfere in a football. I think that's unbecoming of the sport, Dan.
I mean, there are some schools that maybe would have let him by with that. I think there are schools where you could have gotten away with punching a guy and like, been suspended and brought back.
That feels like that's not a football guy. Like, football guys don't tolerate you being a player during the
game. You know, Jim Tressel, he got fired for lying about tattoos. I mean, yeah, the NCAA basically gave him a show cause, but still, like, Ohio State's just used to having to fire great coaches, I think. That's the other thing. But this isn't Michigan State, where they've had, like, one good coach in 30 years, and they're holding on to him desperately. Or like, Baylor, where, like, they did everything they could to try to keep Art Briles until it became clear he ran, like, a rape ring. Like, you know, they did everything they could to keep him, because basically Baylor football is Art Briles, and they've never done anything otherwise. Or Joe Paterno. Ohio State's had great coaches. They've won national titles with different coaches, and they've fired great coaches. I don't see them as looking at Urban Meyer and saying he's untouchable. We just have to keep him. What do you think, Darren? You're Midwestern by birth.
Midwestern by birth, Southern by way of school, and now Texan by car.
Sure.
So, you know, this is one of those things that, you know, I look at this situation, and I think we are now entering a really cool era where, like, no one's untouchable. And so that being said, I still kind of don't really know where to go on this. And so when I look at something like this, I'm trying to figure out, man, you know, like, what's going to happen? I turn to a very, very practical and logical source. And those are Las Vegas betting odds. And so right now, the odds kind of say that Urban stays but gets suspended. And I kind of like that. I kind of think that that's a very, very viable possibility. I'm not sure he's there game one. I don't know what the point of the current 2-week investigation is, like what they're hoping to get out of that, whether they are just kind of Ohio State's trying to cover its own butt, or if they're just actually trying to do true due diligence on it. I don't think Urban Meyer is coach for their first game of this season, but I don't know if I can necessarily say he won't be coaching once November, December rolls around.
Well, I guess this is what I just come back to, is that I think we're kind of underestimating what all has to happen for Urban Meyer to return as their head coach. And one of the things that has to happen is that they're going to have a different athletic director, because Urban Meyer threw that guy under the bus. And he's a highly connected guy, well-liked by a lot of their boosters, who's been there a long time, been a very good athletic director. They can't keep him and Urban Meyer, because Urban Meyer basically shit all over us Friday. They basically said, yeah, I did what I was supposed to do. He's the one who fucked up. Like, he's the reason there was an abuser on campus. Get mad at him. So there's no way in my mind that you keep both of those guys. One of them's got to go. And there's no way they can coexist and work together after that. I mean, when you know, you've got to, like, clean tire tracks off your face. You know, you can't like, show up the next Monday and be like, how you doing, Bob? Like, it doesn't work that way.
I think that might be the genius of what Urban did here. He essentially declared war against the AD. Kind of, made people pick a side. Kind of
I think some of that is that he knows he's fired. He knows he's fired, but he doesn't want to end up in the Art Briles
spot.
Maybe
he can win the political war. Maybe that's what Urban's.
He's not going to win that war.
But Urban doesn't think that. He's a coach.
I'm sure he knows that.
And I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. Like, he essentially said, I follow protocol. I didn't lie to my administration. I might lie to you guys in the media and everyone else that I was talking to. But, you know, I did what I was supposed to do. And so I think kind of creating that division, right or wrong, we don't really know.
That should be a verifiable thing, though. And if they can't find where he sent that up the ladder, it's like, well, now you're
true.
I think the AD ends up.
I just don't. I think the boosters would pick the AD over the coach, because that's the way that's just the relationship those different figures have.
But it's 28. It's a weird. We're in a weird era, Dan, where, like, whatever logical thought gets, doesn't it?
I also think this goes back to when they hired Urban Meyer. There was a lot of Ohio State people like, we don't need that fucking SEC trash. We're fucking virtuous Big Ten, you know, warrior poet. Like, I think there's still people over there who are like, oh, we knew this would happen.
Did you fuck not see guy. The rally?
Well, students, like, if you get like 12 students mad, they'll do.
It was like, I believe, what, 1 million people.
Here's the thing about those people. None of those people write checks. Their opinions are worthless. Like, not a single person who was at that rally meant anything to anybody who's going to make a decision. Because none of those people write a check to anybody. The people who write the checks are the people who count. That's the rule with college athletics. That's the rule with pretty much everything. The people who write the checks get to say what happened.
Not here on this.
No, absolutely not.
Unless
nobody
writes
checks to us.
Then yes.
Yes, write us a check, and then we'll suck your dick.
It's not
like, whatever.
That we have integrity. Or a Venmo. We don't have to have a check. This is 1972.
I ordered checks the other day, and the guy at the teller was like, hey, why do you do that, huh? What's up with that?
I recently got moved up at my job where I write more checks. I think I've written more checks in the past month than I have in 30 years.
I probably wrote more checks to Darren Weber than any other single person in the history of the world when we were roommates.
You know, that's underrated, is like getting a check. Like, I get it, cash is king, but having just a check with just a lot of money on it, that's just, you know, it's a good feel. I like
getting
checks.
Isn't that a debit card, though? It's a check.
Well,
see, here's the thing, though. I don't like ever giving people lots of cash, because then they can say I didn't get it.
Ooh,
so that's why
go.
I like...
Smart
that's
man,
the reason
leaving
why,
the trail.
That's the reason why you write checks to people when you're, like, in a roommate situation. Because, especially when you're in college, nobody's really that organized.
I don't know, Dan, like, I never wrote a check. I've never wrote a check in my life.
Well, I'm sorry that you're disorganized. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you've always done things in a grab ass way. I apologize for you.
I think you're kind of a man. You really are Andy Bernard. You're the Andy Bernard of this.
Well, how do you pay your landlord?
Yeah, how do you pay the landlord?
If you didn't pay him,
gave
checks.
The money to the.
So how'd you give the money to the roommate?
I gave him, my dad transferred me cash, and I even got it out like a kid.
That's ridiculously insane.
Like, yeah,
if I tried to do that, my dad would have yelled at me for being an idiot.
Yeah, like, I feel awkward going to the ATM and taking more than, like, $40 out. Like, what do you need all that cash for?
Drugs.
Okay. But you're just, like, I try to minimize the number of times I go to an ATM and get more than $40 at a time. Because
in college,
I don't want to catch a brick to the back of it.
In college, I had a buddy who his rent money that his mom gave him at the strip club during a bachelor party week.
Well, that is Atlanta.
Well, or Milledgeville. Actually, Charleston.
See, I never think of strip clubs in Charleston.
Well, this one was a BYOB store next, so you couldn't even buy alcohol. You had to buy it next door and bring it in.
That already is. I'm already horrified by that.
But let's hop into the Big 12 for you. Hype us up.
Well, I mean, for people who love the Big 12, which obviously does not include one half of this podcast, regular hosts, the Big 12, what do you think about when you think of the Big 12? You think of Texas, you think of big hats, you think of people not making a lot of noise at games.
The Fox Network.
You think of poorly produced Fox broadcasts where they get people's names wrong. And you think of lots of points, and of course you think of the greatest cartoon in the world, King of the Hill. I mean, those are the thoughts I have when I think of the Big 12. And, you know, what better way to preview the Big 12 than to go through each team and figure out which King of the Hill character they are.
You know, and for those of you that don't know the King of the Hill, it's the greatest, you know, I used to get teased about it because it was an animated show, so they kind of got akin to a cartoon, but it was just so thoughtful, you know, like you had great characters that had just these simple lives that kind of, they were teaching you lessons before you even really realized they were teaching you lessons. You just saw characters being stupid, and you're just like, there's no way these people can exist and do these things. But it was a lot of lovable, good people, and I think that's why we kind of chose to do this for this podcast, is just because they're easy to relate to, and if I give you a character's name, like Hank Hill, kind of like the Big 12, it'll elicit certain emotions and words, and I think that's why this is going to be really fun.
Yeah, also, when you're a kid, I think King of the Hill is one of those shows that you like better when you get, like, a little bit older, and you start realizing, oh, yeah, I've known a fucking Hank Hill.
Yeah, these are all my friends.
I have known a Rod Strickland, not Rod Strickland, Buck. I've known the guy, Buck Strickland. I've known a Buck Strickland. I've absolutely met Buck Stricklands in my life. I've absolutely met a Dale.
God help you if you've met a Dale.
If you haven't met a Dale, you're probably
no. Aw. But better have than Dale still has a hot wife.
Yeah. Accurate. Well, kinda.
She like cheated on him for 12 years.
how old's their son?
he was playing sixth grade football, so what does that mean? He's like at least 11 or 12 in the show?
Yeah. And then he hits puberty. He was old enough to hit puberty.
Joseph.
So
what a stud.
Let's get started. So, first off, my first question. How many teams are in the Big 12 again?
It's definitely 12. No, it can't be right. That can't be right. It's definitely at least 12.
No.
That can't be right.
How many teams are in the Big 10, then?
14.
It's nothing. Okay, but at least the Big 10 rebranded as BIOB. Why is the Big 12 not really sort of nonsense brand?
I don't know why they don't rename themselves the Southwest Conference and be done with it, because they pretty much are at this point.
It's weird. Like, they kicked everybody out to move to the Big 12, and then people left the Big 12, and then they just basically recreated the Southwest Conference, but they're like, no, we don't want to rename it that again. But we'll, this makes sense. Big 12, 10 teams, this is fine. This will do.
Also, we will not let Houston in, even though Houston was like probably the most successful Big Southwest Conference team, other than Texas, for like 20, like they won like more conference titles than any team other than Texas A&M. But they're not allowed into the league, even though they've been pretty good the last few years.
Well, and all in the name of recruiting out of the best state, I'm guessing roughly one of the better states to recruit high school, you know, recruits, because clearly there's not enough people in Texas in high school football here. Nope, Houston, if we let them in, well, they're going to take some of our recruits, as if Texas and OU and all these other schools aren't already taking most of them anyways, but man, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, the Big 12 is, what I do love about the Big 12 is how fantastically incompetent the people are who run it. Like the leadership of the Big 12 is so bad that it's very, very funny. It's not, like, bad in that Pac-12 way where they're, like, a bunch of, like, Elon Musk, like, big-thinking dipshits who are like, yeah, we're gonna be, like, the number one sports league in China. And it's like, no, you won't. Nobody in China is gonna fucking give a shit about college fucking football. Are you stupid? We're gonna take over Australia. What are you talking about? Literally, what are you talking about? You know, we're gonna add a college from New Zealand so we can corner Micronesia. What? But like the Big 12 is just like, yeehaw, let's shit in the basket. Like, it's just like a bunch of like strange cowboys firing guns in the air, and then like occasionally one of the bullets comes down and hits somebody in the forehead and kills. Like, that's an entire league of that. Well, and then like, West Virginia just shows up and nobody knows why they're there, and they just fire a blunderbuss in the air and everybody dies.
They're kind of like just kind of all suckling. Like, Texas is the rich friend. Dumb friends.
You can't leave Oklahoma out. Like,
they're like the
basic. Two rich people, and then like they're assorted hangers on who really like who would not be like looked at a party if they weren't with like the two rich people.
Let's hop into this preview. So what's our first comparison?
Dan, you're leading this show.
So, you know what? I'm going to kind of keep this in the same form we kind of had last year. So I'm going to start from the bottom, you know, at the bottom of the Big 12. I'm going to start with the 12th team. The 10th team. That's right. So who's finishing dead last? So, you know, if you guys were thinking about the Big 12 team, who you got? Kansas. It's you know, it's just really not even worth talking about. So my character comparison, though, is, and this will be fun, I have Bill Dautrey. And the reason I have that is he's kind of this, like, bumbling idiot, and he's just kind of, you know, he's just there. But he's never really a threat, and but you're never going to kick him out. You're kind of glad to have him around, because you're like, well, basketball's kind of cool, so yeah, you can stick around for that. But we'll
is
just
that like the cutting hair of...
Right. Yes, basketball is the equivalent of being able to cut hair.
Well, and he's in the Army, so like he you know, he's there. Like, you can't kick him out. Like, he's not doing anything dumb. He's not a Dale Gribble. He's just kind of been, you know, a silly guy that's just... You know, he's just kind of lost his way, and you just know he's never going to find it.
Was Kansas ever good, though?
Well, hey, don't forget the years with Mangino.
Is that like the bulldozer? He did hold the Texas State high school record for most touchdowns.
That's 2007.
Okay.
That's 2007 for Kansas.
One good year. Okay, yeah. One great year.
Hey, we had one good year. We gave him the ball every time we were at the one. And but, you know,
also like high, like divorcing your wife in an extremely bitter way is pretty similar to hiring Charlie Weiss to be your head coach. Like, those are pretty similar, like, activities that you could do to your life to ruin.
So thoughts...
And Charlie Weiss kind of took all of their players, too, because...
Yeah, once
he just, like, decided we don't need to recruit freshmen anymore. We're just going to have junior college guys. And then all of them failed out of college, and so they had, like, 20 guys on scholarship.
Which is really surprising watching that Netflix documentary.
Like, scholarship.
You kind of see them on that new Netflix documentary. You're like, man, these are well-rounded individuals. I don't see how they're failing at all. So thoughts on the Bill Dautrey comparison?
You've talked me into it. I believe in it.
Okay.
I buy it.
So moving up the ladder in the Big 12, you kind of... is kind of where it gets a little iff. But at number 9, do you guys remember this team called Baylor? Have you ever heard of her?
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure. So we all, I mean, Baylor, they had this, it's basically, it was an overgrown high school stadium for years until Robert Griffin got there. And now they have this new gorgeous stadium. And then, of course, what happens is the Art Briles situation, yada, yada.
Well, I don't know if anyone's heard this, but Auburn quarterback Jared Stidham, that's never been mentioned before during the broadcast. So.
And never on this podcast.
No, either. Never.
Like, we never just preface it as former Baylor quarterback.
We never just interject Auburn talk for no reason into this podcast. No. I can tell you that much.
Even though Gus Malzahn is really secretly a Big 12 coach. He just snuck into the SEC.
Won't say that.
Auburn is the most Big 12SEC program. Even more Big 12 than the actual former Big 12 team.
Can we get back to the please?
So getting back to Baylor, I don't even know where Auburn is, but I do know where Baylor is, and geographically it's between Dallas and Austin, and kind of like they're kind of in the middle of nowhere with their season. And so I gave them, you know, last year the only team they beat was Kansas, 1-11, and the character I said that they were like is John Redcorn, our promiscuous, you know, lover boy with some dark skin who is just a good storyline, but just very rarely a good storyline. Because that's just John Redcorn, you know, he's there and he's sexy sometimes, but most of the time he's just a non-factor. You know, I think that's kind of true. You know, they've had some good years where we really thought Baylor was coming to their own when ECU was kind of duking it out, you know, there towards late in the David, not David, what's his name? Griffin. Robert Griffin, his name.
Yeah, RG3.
RG3, that should have been easier to say. But, you know, they had a couple good years where they warranted that new stadium, but now it's just they're back to be what we expect Baylor to be. And so you get excited every once in a while, but overall, Redcorn.
See, I would go in a different direction. I would say he's Khan. Baylor is Khan. Because they hired a coach who does not fit in this area, and everybody knows. And for some reason, Baylor is the only ones who don't. Like, they hired a guy from Philadelphia who's coached his entire career in the Northeast, who's come to Texas, did not bring enough people from Texas to be his assistant coaches. So they're just a bunch of fucking Yankees hanging out in Texas.
Does he call
acting
everyone
like they're
dumb
better
redneck?
Than everybody?
Does he call everyone?
I assume.
Does he call like everyone around
assume.
Him dumb redneck?
He's probably like the wrong kind of Democrat.
So you want to know a fun fact about Baylor? Actually, 94% of the black kids on that campus play a sport. Could you imagine being one of the 6% of the black kids that don't do anything? You're actually just there to be a student? Oof.
Well, I mean, you chose to go to Ken Starr University. You got what you got.
Well, but you know what? Probably pretty good sex. Like, you're an athlete. You know.
I mean, usually that's kind of racist, but in Baylor's case, like, well, I mean, fair enough.
I mean, even if you're like a small guy, you're like, yeah, woman, like, they'll buy that, and like, you're sweet, sweet.
Yeah, I'm Muggsy Bogues, like, dribbling skills. I'm on the basketball team. Well, you know, our team does suck.
No one's going. Our team covered up a murder. Covered. What a great. I feel like Baylor might be like a little Boomhauer-y. Boomhauer's probably too important, but he's probably racist, so.
That's the unspoken thing about King of the Hill is how many people Boomhauer's probably.
I think you guys are just ruining my childhood. I just thought Boomhauer was a smooth guy. I just thought he was a smooth talker. I mean, found out he was a Texas Ranger at the very end of that series, I was just like, man, no wonder this guy gets just.
Oh, so he's a cop. Well,
he is a cop. Well, is a Ranger a cop? Actually, what is a Ranger? I thought they rode horses.
Walker Texas Ranger is the
it's
ultimate
like a state,
cop.
State police.
Is it?
It's just like a shitty, grandiose way of saying. Fucking state highway patrolman.
Or is it's it kind like of like the equivalent of like Georgia? We have like Georgia, the BI or Texas BI. Is that just
well, we have a baseball team called the Rays.
There you go.
But I don't.
Maybe that's.
I've never seen. It's kind of like whenever you see those cars that say constable on the side, you're like, that's probably important, but I don't really know what you do.
To me, a constable is like one of those. What do they call them in Britain? A
Benny
Bobby.
Hill. No.
Yeah. Like you're just in a Benny Hill sketch. Like, you lose your nightstick down some girl's blouse.
That's all of it.
And it's just like, whoa! And then you make faces, and then somebody slaps you on the head.
That's why they have less shoes, so. Makes you think.
I do like the Khan, though, comparison, because, yeah, Rule is just this guy that's just, he's a fish out of water. He's not the coach for this team, though. And you're right, he's not a Texas guy. People here, they love Texas. You can put your name to Texas. You know, that's going to win y'all over a lot of fans and a lot of recruits.
Rule literally ended up at Baylor because he knew, like, that last Temple team he had that won 11 games, it was all seniors. So he's like, well, it's either I leave this year or I'm never going to get a big job. And then Baylor offered him a metric shit ton of money. So he's like, well, okay, let's go get this cash.
This guy.
Which I feel like that's what Khan did. I can make some money here.
Yeah.
I hate everyone here. and I don't want my daughter to procreate with any of these filth. Which that holds up if Matt Rule has a family. Like, I wouldn't want my daughter marrying anybody near Waco either. I mean, what's the two things you know Waco about? They had a cult that lived in a mansion that got set on fire, and their football team raped everyone, literally everything.
Well, not only their basketball team covered up a murder.
Their basketball team, like, one of the players murdered another one, and the coach tried to...
That coach is awesome. If you go read that coach's Wikipedia page, he's been fired from, like, several private... Like, he just can't stop, like, being just a scumbag.
The funniest thing is that he keeps getting hired to things.
Yeah. Like, he got fired from, like, an NAIA recruiting filing. How does that even work?
He got fired from a D school for setting up the president, like, framing him for, like, money laundering or something. Like, he's just this comically, like, inept and also super corrupt, like, psychopath.
And hopefully
who just wanders America creating, like, white-collar crime.
And hopefully the show Art Briles in trouble over something.
I know, he got fired from that Canada job after a week.
No, it wasn't Canada, it was Scandinavia. Spain.
That's one of those, like, weird, like, Nordic countries where rape's not legal, or rape's,
ooh,
like, legal.
Ooh, yeah. The key to our boy, Art Briles.
No, he's got to have players raping people.
Well, let's move on to number 8.
I think it's 17 now in Big 12 numbers. At number 8, actually, I have Texas Tech. And the character I kind of associate Texas Tech with is Boomhauer. Why Boomhauer? You're kind of thinking, okay, Boomhauer is, in the show, is kind of known for being the ladies' man. You know, he doesn't talk well, or you can't understand him, at least. But his MO is always kind of the same through all, whatever, 9-10 seasons they have of King of the Hill. You know, Boomhauer's kind of got the same shtick going for him. I think to this Texas Tech team, pretty much the same thing you're always going to expect. You know, Cliff Kingsbury, good-looking fellow, high-octane offense, shitty defense. You know they're going to put up a lot of points, but at the end of the day, it is what it is, and they're still going to finish in the bottom half of the Big 12.
Emotionally empty. That's the other thing. Boomhauer is secretly the saddest character on the show because he can never know true love.
He finds true love and to Canada.
That's right. He did to Canada. Oh, that would have been a good Baylor comparison. But Art Briles is in the
Well,
show,
that's
so.
Where Cliff Kingsbury is going to be next year. So
that's actually true. That's actually he's on the hot seat. There's only so many years you can put up with that crap of just we'll score a bunch, we'll score 50 points, and still figure out a way.
Yeah, you can only go 5-7, 6-6, 4-8, so many times before people get sick of you. Even if you are like the first great quarterback in Texas Tech history. He's milked that thing about as long as you can. They got to win like 9 or 10.
I just don't understand. Like, it's like he only recruits quarterbacks and wide receivers, and everyone else is just like, ah, fuck it. We'll just go out there with whatever.
He probably learned how to coach from NCAA video games.
That's all you need on NCAA football. Like, yeah. The lines will all block about the same. Who cares?
Well, you just mess up their fighters looking for...
At some point, Texas Tech's also going to have to figure out that, like, the offense that Mike Leach won a lot of games with in the Big 12 is, like, that everybody runs that now. So, like, if you're Texas Tech throwing the ball 60 times a game, it's not, like, some big advantage that you have. Like, everybody throws that fucking ball 60 times a game. That's why Big 12 games are interminable to watch, because they all take 17 hours to finish, because nobody runs the ball ever. Like, I think Texas Tech kind of needs to blow it up.
But then Gus Johnson can't yell really.
Hey, hire Ken Niumatalolo from Navy, and then he'll scream as they run for, you know, they get like a 70-yard triple option.
Oh, there you go. Danny, do you have a comparison to Texas Tech?
See, they were a struggle for me. That one was a struggle for me. So I think I'll go with that. That's good enough for me. I mean, he is the prettiest coach in college football.
He's a good looking fellow. So you kind of get out those bottom three, and I think a lot of people kind of would probably maybe agree with me. I don't know. If not, you suck. But anyway, so then you kind of get into some of the middle of the pack that kind of they're gonna get a few wins. And you never really know where you're gonna get them though. And I think the number one team that's guilty of that is Iowa State. Ooh. So I have them at number seven, just because they're going to beat somebody weird. Like, they're going to roll up to West Virginia and somehow stop them, or, you know, Oklahoma's going to come to town, and they're going to find a way to win on some, you know, backwards field goal or something. They're just a wonky team that just kind of does that kind of stuff. So I said they're kind of the wild card of the conference. Who do you think is the most wild card character in all of Kingdom? Dale Gribble.
Exactly.
Every time he's around, you have to kind of be on like a pins and needles, because you just never know what they're going to do. You know, it's just kind of this weird guy that you're just. It kind of used to be like the Wake Forest of the olden days. Like, you just somehow they just kept beating Florida State just over and over again. If nothing else, like, Jim Grobe just knew how to beat Florida State, and you were just like, what's happening? Iowa State kind of does the same thing. You know, they'll beat in Iowa, or they'll beat TU, or they'll beat Texas, but, you know, you just never know where they're going to get that win. So I kind of put them as that wild card character.
Okay, this is perfect, because you look at him and you're like, okay, you know, he's got a really hot wife. But secretly, she's going to leave him. Or she's going to leave him one day, and she's already cheating on him. And that's what's going to happen with Matt Campbell when he leaves them for Ohio State at the end of the year. They're getting cucked by Ohio State, is what I'm saying.
So I think Iowa State, like, Dale Gribble comparison, that's pretty spot on, right? Like, we're happy with
also,
that.
Also, when I think of, like, where's Iowa State at? Is that in Des Moines?
Iowa's in Iowa City.
I'm going to say Des Moines.
There's only, like, two towns.
It's probably Des Moines. I'm just going to say Des Moines. I could totally see somebody from Des Moines just, like, walking up to a child covered in ants and saying, come on to me!
They are Ames, Iowa. Ames, Iowa.
Ugh. I always forget about it. Ames is famous for having great tap water. Wow, very proud of their tap water.
It is Iowa. Ames, Iowa is the most middle-of-the-state county I've ever seen. Like, it is in the smack dab middle of Iowa. Like, there cannot be like, it is, if you ever wanted to put, it is like the most center of central centers that's ever centered. It's really impressive.
Central City from The Flash was based on Ames, Iowa.
Ames, Iowa.
It wasn't Chicago, as you probably would have assumed. No, it was Ames, Iowa.
No, Chicago's Gotham.
No, Gotham's New York.
Yeah, it's got to be New York.
No, Gotham's...
Gotham... Like, actual... No, Metropolis is L.A. We all know this.
No, it isn't. L.A.
We all know this. There's no L.A. in D.C.
L.A. is, the town...
That's Bloodhaven. That's Trenton, New Jersey.
Bloodhaven is, like...
It's right across the ocean. It's right across the water.
Minnesota. It's Minnesota.
No, there it's not that far away.
The Twin Cities of Bloodhaven and St. Jude.
And so, then the worst one is, I think it's called Hub City, where the question hangs out, is based on East St. Louis.
That's right. Why isn't there in Atlanta? Let's move on, though. What do we got next?
You know, and it's kind of weird. So you're the top of the bottom at number six. It's just like a weird thing to actually say, but I'm putting Oklahoma State in that spot. Ooh. And so, like, last year, you know, they wanted to be up there with the Oklahoma talk. And I think they were a lot of times. A lot of people look forward to that kind of game. You know, just a lot of offense. And you knew they were a good team. Like, everyone still kind of thought they were. And Oklahoma State's another one of those weird teams, passionate fan bases. They kind of know what they're doing. But at the end of the day, it's a classic little brother with Oklahoma. And I think they always kind of figure themselves to be more important than they really are and knowing better than they really do. So I kind of compared them to Peggy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're important because, like, you think of, like, Oklahoma State has given us a lot of shit. Like, they came up with the RPO. I don't think people know that.
They invented that spaghetti.
Yes.
And it's they're kind of like, I don't know if you guys...
They're also famous for having, like, comically large feet.
Well, that's what I was... Actually, that was the episode I was going to reference. Oklahoma State, there was the episode where the transgender thought Peggy was actually a man. Like, they just thought... They were like, your feet are so big, you are a man. And they just thought she was a really good transgender. And I was like, that's very Oklahoma State. Like, you talk a big game, but you're... just a, and you are a man, but you're dressed like a woman. It's just, no, we don't really know what you are.
Did you say a 40-year-old man dressed like a woman?
How old is Peggy Hill? She had a bun. Yeah, yeah. I'd say 45. She looks a little older just because
actually the transgender episode.
Oh, he was a young guy.
He was bald.
He was balding. He did. He had like the crown, like where he had like the hair on like, the side of the face. Yeah. He did have that look. Yeah, and you can never tell because like when gay guys have like those higher, or I guess transgender guys have those higher pitched voices, like they always kind of sound younger to me. So I don't know. But
well, they're not guys, for the record. But we can move on.
I call girls guys. Guys are guys.
They're all guys. Like,
my dog's a guy. It's fine. It's everyone's a guy.
Guy in the Northeast, guys considered.
That's right.
Non-gendered.
You guys.
Guys, what's up, man?
What's up, guys?
I just don't want to lose our standing with the LGBT plus community. I just don't.
Oh, that's right. When I was looking you guys up on the Apple ratings, it said number 3 for LGBT gay plus community.
College football. We're the number 1
LGBT. Oh, right. That too.
College football podcast and all of it.
I also like that rating. Oh, yeah. They're very popular with LGBT plus gay. What?
We don't get a lot of that down here in Texas, so it's just kind of a nod. Yeah,
no,
talk about Dallas is Dallas is homo as hell.
Yeah, and Texas it's a queer state.
That's why I said we get the G, but the LBT and Q, LBTQ, okay. LBTG.
No, I'll talk about that. We got a lot of lesbians. Like,
I'm sure
most Texas women are probably lesbians, or at least bi.
Gotta be.
Maybe no There's G. A, it's the old
look,
school.
Oh, I know. The oldest thing everybody knows about Texas is only steers and queers come from. and you're not mooing, and I can't hear you mooing.
So moving out of the bottom half of the Big 12.
Bottom. LGBT plus.
Plus B. Moving into the top half, at number 5, I have State. Ooh. And Kansas State is kind of similar to Texas Tech. They're kind of the same team under Bill Snyder. It's just over and over again. We're just going to put a bunch of big motherfuckers up there. We're just going to run the ball. And this game's going to be over in 58 minutes.
30 minutes.
It's even though we have a 60-minute game, we're actually going to speed up the clock. But they're a disciplined team, and you know, they're boring, but they do things the right way. And damn
fundamentals.
Fundamentals. You know, hold on to the ball. No fumbles. We're only going to, you know, throw those 7-yard checkdowns. We're never going deep. We're just going to keep it conservative. And if there isn't a Hank Hill-looking team like Kansas State, I don't know who is.
Ooh. Also, I like this comparison, first off, too. It's Kansas State. Never going to win the title. Hank Hill never became man.
Oh, that's right.
Never really moved up. Kind of always kind of stayed that same area forever. It's kind of Kansas State or Snyder, right? Kind of like consistently like number 2 or 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Like consistently a threat and consistently reliable to be up there. But yeah, you're right. You're just never going to be that championship team that they could be.
Also, if Hank Hill was a football coach, like the head coach, he would absolutely install the single wing and just call quarterback power 30 times. Just, yep, quarterback power. Quarterback power left, quarterback power right. Let's line a fullback up in the backfield with the quarterback, and that's it.
You know what? I got to disagree there, Dan. Hank Hill is not a quarterback, though, if I remember correctly. He's a tailback. I think Hank Hill's going to run a lot of I form.
No, he's just going to block for the quarterback to run power. Because that's a good tailback, is one who blocks properly in Hank Hill's world. We're going to preach the fundamentals.
I can't wait to teach you the fundamentals, Bobby.
If Bill Snyder wasn't a football coach, he would absolutely be selling propane and propane accessories.
And he would never cheat on propane.
And he would also, like, always win the sales competition because the other guy tries to be too flashy and then all of his propane gets brought back in early.
Yeah, because he gave out one pamphlet worked out a month later.
Make sure you do your research.
What's the one where he's a pimp? The only thing I want is propane. I'm pimping this baby all over town. greatest like setup of a joke ever. Him driving his dad's old Cadillac in the hat. Just an amazing.
When you think about Bill Snyder, like, what do you think about? You think about him writing like handwritten letters in purple pen to like other coaches,
and like shaking, like he goes out and shakes hands. He's not going to text you. He's going to come yell at you if you're doing something wrong. He's going to shake your hand.
If he doesn't like your handshake, he's not going to vote for it.
Exactly.
No.
Oh, God, he had a weak handshake, Peggy. I mean, he shook George Bush's hand. He said that. He almost became a Democrat off of it. Like, he just, it's, there's only one way to do things.
Yeah, Bill Snyder would either fire you or his players if you have a weak, like, you could be one of the best quarterbacks. If your handshake sucks, you're cut.
And Bill Snyder, or Bill Snyder's also famous for being able to take highly undisciplined JUCO players, teach them the fundamentals and get them to fit onto a team.
Like,
and if that's not Hank teaching Bobby how to take care of propane jars, I don't know.
I would have said Buddha sack.
Propane jars. You call propane tanks a propane jar.
Yeah, sure. I'm extremely manly. I only cook with oak.
Honey, could you give me a jar of gas for my car?
Yeah, sure. When I go to barbecue, I dig a hole in my backyard, put pieces of grocery cart over it, and then, you know, cook a pig. That's the Eastern North Carolina way of cooking.
Ugh. All right, so we got, who we got next here?
So up to the last four, and I think number four, so up to this point I'm pretty confident, and at the top four get kind of a little strange for me, but number four I kind of left as Texas. So I think this is Tom Herman's second year at Texas, is that right?
Nah, that sounds right.
Okay. Yeah. He's new. He's still newish. He's probably got a long leash there for a little while. You know, so they're going to be better than they were last year. I just don't see them kind of cracking that top three, that top tier with OU and stuff. And so I think I'm going to give this character to... A lot of people may not like this because she wasn't as a prevalent a character, but I don't know if you guys remember Donna from Strickland Propane. She always kind of slept with Mr. Strickland.
Died in a dumpster. You had to get the 2-for-1 combo, I believe.
That's right. Over at, what do they call it? Sugarfoot's. Sugarfoot. And so I said that she kind of was a Donna because she slept with the boss. And, you know, she kind of did think like cool things. Like she set up the MySpace page in the show. But, you know, just kind of lately, towards the end of the show, she wasn't as relevant. She was relevant earlier, more relevant
no,
earlier
she,
on.
No, she died.
Well, she died. Well,
remember that's... Oh, no, that's Debbie.
Oh, yeah, Debbie was the other one. Debbie was the blonde.
Donna, I know you're saying.
Yeah. Donna was the dark-haired girl. Yeah, so...
Did Brittany Murphy voice these characters, too?
No. Did Brittany Murphy have a country accent? Yeah, I guess Luann did. Yeah, Luann did. I don't know. No, she couldn't have been.
No.
That's not possible. And if it is, I can't believe it.
I would be shocked if Bobby wasn't voiced by a female voice actor.
Yeah, that would agree. Actually, you know what really rocked my world when I was a child was learning that Tommy Pickles from the Rugrats was voiced by a woman. Oof, that gave me chills as a 7-year-old.
She was voiced by Pamela Alden.
That's not a real name.
Also did the voice of Bobby Hill.
Ha-ha! No way!
You may remember her as...
As Tommy Pickles.
And as Marcy Rutkin in California.
Oh, yeah, of course. All of those characters I remember.
She's an attractive lady.
See, that's the one drawback of King of the Hill, was hiring, like, attractive women to do voices.
She also she's not, like hot. You
said attractive. Don't go back on it.
She also did the voice of Milo from another adult.
Another show that I've never heard of.
It's on the original Adult Swim, along with, like, King of the Hill.
King of the Hill was on Fox, bro.
But in reruns. The Oblongs was on the WB.
Yeah, they moved to
animation comedy.
The original Adult Swim was just like Space Ghost Coast to Coast on a loop.
Well, that was like
And then they added that terrible show with like horrible stick figure voiced by the people involved with Archer now.
Oh,
that was just like the worst show in the world that made you want to just shoot yourself in the face. But you had to sit through it in order to get to the Brack show. Which is what you really, or Harvey Birdman, really wanting to watch. God, the Brack Show was meant so much to me as a kid, and it's so probably so bad. I'll never watch it again. Anywho,
so yeah, I said Donna because she was a pretty character, like you recognize her, but just as of later on the show, she wasn't as relevant, so you kind of just forgot about her. I kind of feel like that's kind of Texas's MO right now. Just kind of, they were solid, and you know, lately you just kind of haven't heard much, but. You know, I bet if they did a King of Hill revival, you would see more of Donna. Because I bet Texas is up and coming right now with Tom Herman.
She's described by the King of the Hill wig as heavy set. I would not call Donna heavy set.
No, she had big hips. You can tell she had wide birthing hips. Yeah. Filled with two C's.
Yeah. Not low key. Like, Donna walks...
Yeah, you follow, exactly, you follow it with your eyes. You have to turn your head to keep following. It's not one of those...
Donna's a woman you see, and you're like, this lady can raise me a child, a masculine.
That's right. Fix three legs.
Oh, man.
So who do you think? who did you guys think Texas was? I want to know. Because Texas, like, a lot of people have to know. Like, you have to, you would think it's going to be, like, a big, sexy character, like, Hank, or at least a prominent character like Hank. But he's not, but Texas isn't a Hank.
It's Buck. Come on.
No.
It's Buck.
No.
It's definitely Buck. It's just a rich dipshit who just falls backwards and then, like, bets on greyhounds and then, you know, has sex with a horse. Just for, like, who the fuck cares? and just, like, shows up in Arkansas and burns the state down for no reason.
What's the town he called?
Hot Springs.
Is that a real town?
Yeah!
Oh, no.
I think gambling's allowed there, for real.
Yeah, well, Arkansas is kind of like the Mississippi, that area. Really, I would say the Big 12, because Missouri.
Yeah. I think even Arkansas realizes that they fucked up, that they should have just waited and taken Baylor's spot in the Big 12, and they'd just be happier.
And take Missouri back. And A&M. We don't like
it. Trade West Virginia for A&M, Missouri, yeah, and Arkansas.
The SEC will gladly take West and UTEP or something.
No.
They'll never let UTEP in because they let black people play on their basketball team before everybody That's else.
Right. I had UTEP at I'm pretty excited to see.
But so, moving into...
But how is Texas not Buck Strickland? How is Texas not Buck?
Because it's Oklahoma? Because Buck Strickland can, like... I think the thing about the Big 12 is everything's always relative. Like, the Big 12 is even getting, like, even worse this year than they were last year, and yet somehow Oklahoma's still going to win this thing, spoiler alert. And so that's why I aken Oklahoma to Buck a little bit more. It's just because, like, it doesn't matter what's happening around him. He's still just kind of in charge. You're like, this guy should have lost his job or should be bankrupt by now. But somehow he still just comes out on top every time. He still has his business because he's got a reliable kind of underling in Texas to do their bidding for him. Like, Texas with getting the Longhorn Network and keeping the Big 12 basically kind of the shambles that it was when conference realized.
But isn't that Texas, though? Like, they're just a shambling idiot, but because they have more money than everybody, they stay on top for no reason.
Have they really stayed on top besides, like...
I think that's the argument.
They have more money,
like,
than everybody.
They have more money, but, like, to be on top, don't you have to win ball game?
Oh, you know who Texas... who's the other rich Asian? Ted Wasson.
Oh, Ted Wasson is song.
Like, rich, Texas. Occasionally looks good, but, like, it's kind of
I think the problem with Ted is, like, you need a little bit more prominence, because Ted, you know, he's there, and He is like that rich guy, and you know he exists, but he's not seen often enough in the show to really know what he's like.
Is Texas not Councilman Fred Everett? The greatest unseen hero. I mean, I think he should have won. Was one Tank Hill's hero, and he fucked up.
And so I think that's just kind of where I disagree, though, because, like, Buck, you're just kind of like, he somehow just stumbles his way through life despite being just so dumb. And I guess I see that kind of analogy to Texas. But, you know, Texas, they have to win to be top dog, and they haven't been winning lately.
I just think Buck Strickland is the character most likely to scream, "Fat boy!" at somebody. And that, as we all know, that is the Texas catchphrase from the dearly departed Joe Gemeo.
We actually still say it and greet each other on the street. Just kidding, we don't walk on the street. We drive our cars everywhere.
If Texas hadn't won a champion 10 years ago, I would probably say, like, Cotton Hill, living off, like, glories from, like, the Black.
No, Cotton Hill is Texas, is Big 12 Memorial Texas A&M.
Yeah, like, I would completely agree.
Okay. Yeah.
Even though they're not in this league anymore, they are absolutely Cotton Hill.
Like, probably made up at some point, like, the 30s. Maybe
they sawed their own legs off. They didn't even lose them in battle.
50 men is just aching. I won national championships. Well, no, you didn't, but okay.
I beat all them Viet Cong up. No, you didn't. You got into a fight with an SMU cheerleader and lost. And started brandishing a sword for some reason on a football field. And then cut your own legs off accidentally.
All right, well, who do we have next? Because I don't hear
that. Isn't that weird? Like, you get into the top three and you're like, wait, who still plays in this conference?
Nebraska?
Colorado? Right? We added, let's see. Okay, so number three is a local favorite, TCU. And so this is kind of what I was talking about when I was talking about with Oklahoma. Like, the Big 12 just isn't good right now. So you kind of are just like, who's left to actually win this thing? And so I think TCU has kind of got the firepower on offense to kind of get that done. And I kind of said that they are this was actually the toughest character for me to kind of look at a comparison for. And the two I kind of juggled back and forth with were Bobby and Luann. I said Bobby just because, you know, he's kind of there, and sometimes he can surprise you, but then other times he's just kind of this worthless idiot. And I said also it could be Luann, because they kind of got into the Big 12 at the right time, kind of like Luann. She got into the show because of her good looks, and she got, you know, that's how she kind of made her way through a lot of her life in that show. But, you know, they're just still kind of here just because it's a pretty face to have. And, you know, it's kind of like right smack dab in the middle of Texas.
What about this? What about Lucky?
Oh, I'm saving that.
Saving that.
My pocket. He's on my back pocket.
I say Texas Christian is Connie. Because they're the nerd that does not belong here. And they're, like, in the same way Texas... TCU is the only team in the Big 12 that plays defense. Connie's the only person in Texas who studies.
Well, maybe, Dan, to take a note from my comparison, Missouri and the SEC, you can find in the archives, where we compared the SEC teams to songs from the hit musical Mamma Mia. Maybe TCU's like Lisa Simpson. Just doesn't really belong at all on this list.
And nobody can figure out how you got into this league. Like, nobody really knows why you're on... Like,
and what's your mascot? Here. Like, a frog?
Really? And, like, because, like, what do you lose when you take Connie away from that show? Like, you lose Bobby's girlfriend, but there weren't any, like, main storylines ever, or side storylines, really, other than, like, she was his girlfriend. I could see that.
You would lose the Branson episode, but then I guess you would lose, like, the LaDainian Tomlinson.
Again, LT was not in the Big 12. He was in the WAC.
He was in the WAC, that's right.
And the WAC, Big 12, they're the same. They're both, like, bottom tier.
The WAC no longer exists, sir. You cannot compare the Big 12.
No, I thought the WAC was still alive and, like, sports no one cares about.
No, they fell apart because they couldn't even have a football league. So the schools that just played basketball just found other leagues. I think they mostly joined the West Coast Conference with all those private schools.
I don't believe.
I mean, you can look it up.
Oh, no. New Mexico State is in it. Seattle Redhawks. UMKC. Grand Canyon. Chicago State.
Oh, Grand Canyon's that fake private Christian school, isn't it?
Yeah, though. Like,
where it's
online.
Like, but they it's like an online Christian school.
Yeah. Learn.
How do they have sports?
Because it's a real school.
But isn't it all, like, online? Is it just, like, Phoenix for the campus?
I don't know, but, like, ITT Tech used to have, like, things.
That is true. They did, not ITT Tech, DeVry.
DeVry, they had, like, the biggest win.
They got beat by Troy. They lost to Troy by, like, a billion
points. Where do you meet to practice?
It was some gym in Atlanta.
Yeah, they didn't do a lot of practicing, hence why they lost to Troy by, like, 100. Like, I think they gave up 200 points to Troy, like 212 points.
Yeah, there's
a great game.
You can look it up if you want. There's a great John Boy about that.
Yeah, John Boy's figured out that Troy actually scored like an extra 2 points.
friend of the show.
Yeah. He's pretty good.
He's okay. We got
But I, you know, yeah. I just, yeah, I think Texas Christian is the unicorn of this league. They have no fans. They play defense. They're just very weird. But I'm glad they're around because I just like watching Gary Patterson just wipe his entire face off with a towel because he's just constantly sweating. And then he'll take a towel and then he won't just like wipe his face. He'll try to like dig the flesh away with his fingernail. It's very odd, but I love it.
I think
he's basically like a character from Hellraiser.
Well, it's hot here, so I get it. I wipe my face sometimes. I don't just let it fall into my shirt or anything. You know, you gotta wipe the sweat from your brow.
Well, you do what people like me do, and you carry around a washcloth.
No, in Texas, that's why you wear a bandana.
Okay, I feel like anybody who showed up in Texas walking around with a bandana would be immediately outed as an out-of-state asshole.
You know, is there a team we could compare to, like, the Yankee from that one episode of King of the Hill from Boston who showed up in the cowboy hat?
Oh, yeah, when they had the
that's West Virginia, isn't it?
Yeah. They're just asking for a mint juice.
Because West Virginia's not even really Southern. So they just show up in Texas thinking, yeah, partner, I'd like to have some barbecue.
Let's guess who number two is. I totally forgot. Oh.
It's got to be West Virginia, right? We haven't gotten to him.
It is West Virginia. So, I mean, and this has to be one of the most straightforward comparisons. West Virginia is clearly Lucky. There is no other person on King of the Hill that fits a team better than Lucky. They're Snaggletooth. He's bad at speaking. He was only a character as of late. I mean, he's just kind of he's just dumber than a box of rocks. I'm pretty sure that if you have a pulse, you can get into West Virginia. And so, you know, but, you know, at the same time, you know, West Virginia's a good team and someone that you kind of are interested in. So I think Lucky's a good one.
I like that.
Well, the thing about the entire state of West Virginia, though, now, is that their entire public image has been changed by the McElroy family of podcasters, where now everybody just looks at the state of West Virginia and assumes it's just full of, like, super twee, like, like soft boys who make podcasts about playing Dungeons and Dragons with their dad.
I disagree, because I think the most famous podcaster is Pat McAfee.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
He's a part of the Indianapolis Colts. He works for, Barstool. That's right, he does the Barstool.
I can guarantee you that he's not as famous. He's not as famous as the McElroy brothers. Those fuckers, like, walk around and start, like, convention. 5,000 people show up.
I have no idea who that is.
I've drawn a blank.
They literally have, like, three of the most successful podcasts in the history of podcasts.
What does that mean? Like, that still means...
I mean, who's Pat McAfee other than a guy who
missed
the punt?
Remember the kicker who missed the field goals in Pittsburgh? That's him.
No, he's not a kicker, he's a punter.
He did both.
No, Vanderjack was their punt, was their kicker.
No, I believe it was McAfee goals.
That was Vanderjack, and then Peyton Manning said he's a liquored-up kicker.
I know, well, field goals with Pittsburgh happened.
Well, then they had Terry, who's
when
still
there.
When
he was there at West Virginia, Dan, not when he... Was it 2009-7 blew that game against Pittsburgh?
That was 2007.
Okay, definitely. Yeah, that's who I mean. That's Pat McAfee.
I feel like Pat McAfee was already in the NFL by then.
We literally watched the game, the Noel Devine game.
Was he?
Yes.
I don't know. I'm not sure about this.
He was drafted to the Colts in 2009.
There you go. More famous than your Dungeons and Dragons fans.
I'm guaranteeing, like, they literally have the number one best-selling book right now in paperback.
I'm going to look this up. But go into, like, why West Virginia might could maybe even make the...
Well, got Will Greer. They have the best
As long as Will Greer stays healthy.
Like, he's clearly going to be, I think, probably the best quarterback in this, at least the most, like, known about quarterback in the league, right?
It's hard to bet against anybody Oklahoma's got playing quarterback, though.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but I mean, you know, you don't know what you don't know, so they're going to have a new quarterback at OU. So at least, like, with Will Greer, like, you know, hey, this guy's going to throw a bunch of yards, or throw for a bunch of yards, and they're going to score.
He'll probably do some steroids.
Dan, the number one paperback right now, Crazy Rich Asian.
Ooh.
They must have dropped.
Uh-huh, sure.
It's not How to Play Dungeon.
It's the Adventure Zone.
Oh, right.
That's not...
No. Here There Be Gerblins or something.
I'm looking at Amazon, New York Times bestseller paperback. Not even
a bit. Maybe it was a hardback. Dan just misspoke.
Yeah.
I mean, they were definitely bragging about it on their podcast.
Well, maybe made it up.
No, you
That's
would never
a
make
weird
it.
Thing to make up.
Podcast
we're
like,
number
yeah,
one
there's
in
no
paperbacks.
Because no one's going to check the list.
But my, I mean, I might have been listening to an old episode. It might have been 2 weeks ago.
It's not even because, like, number two is Bill... I'm sorry. Bill Clinton and these Patterson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The big book.
It's really shitty.
Yeah, I heard about that.
We got to read that one. It's awful.
That's where Bill Clinton got quizzed about that thing where he said a stupid thing. I know I should be more specific, because, like, everything Bill Clinton said for, like, the last 12 years has been super stupid, but, you know.
I can't do a Bill Clinton. I used to be able to.
All you gotta do is say, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. I guarantee, like, everyone.
I stuck a pussy cigar.
You could automatically get into the Bill Clinton voice if you just say that sentence.
I feel like not enough people remember that, like, that was Bill Clinton's, like, when people make fun of Trump for eating shitty fast food, they forget that that was literally, like, Bill Clinton's whole hook to make him popular with, like, regular people.
And play shitty jazz.
Yeah, I play jazz and hot dogs. I'm just like you. I fucking turds, yeah. And people just thought that was rad as shit in the
90s. And then he hops onto the Leedux.
Yeah, then he gets on a plane with a bunch of 12-year-old girls.
There's your monthly this podcast, because it is necessary.
I mean, yeah, Coughlin will kick us off with a...
I'd do it also, for reading.
Also, West Virginia plays one of your alma maters in state this week. Or not this week, this season. How do you feel about that game?
We'll probably get beat, because, you know, we only get to win 7 games a year, and that's not going to be in it.
Oh, that's sad.
But we'll put 27 people in the NFL draft, nigger, and then somehow win 6 games.
But, you know, also, Dan, at this, West Virginia opens up the year against their SEC equivalent.
That's weird how that's not a rivalry.
Just,
you know?
I think so.
Just two hillbilly teams.
Like, just a Tennessee bunch of fucking... thinks of itself as...
Yeah, they're sophisticated. Sophisticated.
They're the hillbillies with glasses.
Just because they have, like, an entire field full of dead bodies does not make them smart. I mean... There's people in Bladen County who have entire fields full of dead bodies, and you don't see them bragging about it.
The smartest man in any county in dead bodies. Everyone knows that. But let's jump,
number one. And this kind of goes back to everything's relative, and are we really surprised Oklahoma's going to take this thing, y'all? Does anyone really think that Oklahoma isn't just gonna run through this conference? I mean, I think they're back in the top four really easily. And I said they're like Mr. Strickland. Doesn't matter what the hell else happens around them. They're top dog. But yeah, who are you making Oklahoma similar to?
See, I think Buck Strickland's kind of both of them, because secretly Oklahoma and Texas are the same damn.
No, you don't get to do that. That's cheating. You have to pick one. All pigs are equal, but some pigs are more equal. Make a character, sir.
God, Buck Strickland is still right, because that's the most Barry Switzer-ass motherfucker in the show. Like, Barry Switzer absolutely would just go get his dick sucked in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and not even think twice about it.
Yeah, like they do shady things, but I would say they don't even really garner much respect, but you're just kind of, well, that's the boss. He just kind of gets away with it just because they're the boss. So Oklahoma's your top dog.
Yeah, just to switch it back to Oklahoma for one second, I mean, going through their schedule, it looks pretty for the most part. I mean, you do get the powerhouse Florida Atlantic. You get a UCLA team that might not.
Hey, they got to go play they got to go play Lane Kiffin. Don't count that out.
Well, they don't. Well, Lane Kiffin. But they play UCLA early in the year before maybe they things out. You get Army at home. Thank goodness.
That's a tough game. You got to play the wishbone.
But you in the year at West Virginia, so that's probably your de facto Big 12 championship game.
Yeah, you could actually see that game back to back. West Virginia. That could really be just kind of the who's number one, who's number two for the championship game.
Is there a championship game now? Big 12?
Yes, they do have it. Wow. Yeah, because they were so upset about the other year, 2 years ago, when they missed out because they didn't have a championship game.
They did it last year?
So, yeah, they had one last year. So.
It's going to be so funny when Oklahoma goes into that game with, like, one loss and then they lose it and it costs the Big 12 a playoff spot. I'm just really looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to two SEC teams, baby.
Yeah. Ole Miss, Vanderbilt representing the SEC.
Fuck no.
Ole Miss and Vanderbilt going all the way.
So do you guys remember by chance or happen to know who was in the Big 12 conference championship last year?
It was Oklahoma and TCU, wasn't it?
It was Oklahoma and TCU, and Oklahoma beat them 41-7. Real
yeah, Oklahoma was a lot better than everybody last year.
Yeah. I still see kind of something similar this year, but maybe a closer championship game between them and West Virginia, or maybe them and Texas, if Texas really can kind of come through with Tom Herman.
I mean, it's, you know, Texas has got good coaching. You know, if they can get anything defensively, they should be okay. Or if they can get any kind of running game, because that was their thing last year. They could not run the ball.
But, you know, that's just it. Texas is one of those teams that they recruit well just because, well, we're Texas, so... I don't know. I don't know if this is the year for Tom Herman. This is breakout year. If next year is going to be it, but hey.
Or maybe Tom Herman's...
Maybe he does suck.
Yeah.
I mean, he did win a lot of games at Houston.
Yeah. He's at Houston.
That's hard to ignore.
I mean, Houston hasn't won a lot of games, bruh.
He was like top five with that team.
But like, who did he really run up against? Where was he?
Oklahoma? Louisville?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Well, Louisville.
I remember that Louisville game, too. Yeah. The score up on him.
Tulane?
Yeah. Wofford, Troy, who else? Southern
Cincinnati,
Miss.
Liberty,
UConn,
Georgia State,
Navy.
And with that, guys, that wraps up your Big 12. Thoughts?
There we go.
Question.
One thing I noticed, it might be a theme that develops when we do all these previews. I mean, I think back to the SEC or even the Group of Five. A lot of these conferences seem to just have like one team that's going to kind of run the table, and maybe a second one who could maybe stop them, but probably like Oklahoma is the Alabama. So.
I don't think they have the same kind of strength.
No, I mean like this year, in the terms of like they can probably run through.
Well, the other thing we all got to keep in mind though is that this is like Lincoln Riley kind of got thrust into that spot last year. But the more we go down this road, the more this becomes Lincoln Riley's team, the more we find out, well, is Lincoln Riley really cut out to be a head coach? Because, like, we saw this at Oregon when Helfrich took over for Chip Kelly. Like, they made a playoff the first year or so he was there because, you know, you had all of Chip Kelly's old players. You had Chip Kelly's system intact, and you still had Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
But the further you got away from Chip Kelly, the more, and you saw, okay, what is Helfrich going to do on his own as a head coach here? And the more it became clear that he had absolutely no fucking clue what he was doing. You know, that, I mean, we have to bake that into our predictions that maybe Lincoln Riley might not be a great coach. I mean, we don't know yet.
Yeah, and maybe that's how West Virginia steps up in the 12th edition. Maybe we see some weird second-year blunders from Ryan.
Or some, like, big-time Kansas State fundamentals. You know, the word on the street is that Kansas State is going to be a little bit more up-tempo this year. They sent their athletic
director. What street?
The offensive coordinator was like, this is very funny to me. Like, their offensive coordinator was like, yeah, I'd like to come back another year. And Bill Snyder was like, oh, well, why don't you go take that head coaching job you've always wanted to take? But no, I think I'd rather stay here.
Was that the one who had the
picture? I think you should go take the El Paso job. Yeah. And then, yeah.
That was the guy. Dana Dimmel took the El Paso job. Saddest in college.
He got sent off to El Paso like he committed a crime or something. And the word is Kansas State's going to look a little bit more up-tempo this year.
Have you guys done the ACC preview yet?
No, we haven't.
I'll be looking forward to that, because I want to know who's running the table there.
And we've done SEC, and we've done the Group of Five.
I think ACC will probably be the most... It might be the most interesting conference.
Because you're trying to see if I have the guts to pick Georgia Tech to win it for, like, the 18th straight year.
I mean, realistically, I think FSU is going to bounce back. I think Miami's probably going to think Clemson looks good. Like, any three of those
Florida teams, State's going to be trash.
You don't know
I'm
that.
I'm telling you that.
You don't know that.
It's a Willie Taggart year one. They're always trashing you.
There's talent there.
Yeah, but it's all talent, like... recruited to play a shitty, fucking stodgy pro-style offense.
Ooh, well, they're not, retired, Toxie.
But Dan,
as we've talked about before, though, like, how high school is safe, I think these guys can be adapted.
I don't know. Willie Taggart's got a reputation of year one is always kind of, like, shitty.
Like a fun debate for next week.
I mean, he's literally had three different jobs, and they've all been shitty in year one.
No, this is Florida State. This is Seminoles. A little bit different.
The other thing is, that being a black guy, if he has, like, a mediocre year in year one, they're already going to be wanting to throw him out on, like, a, you know,
but I think I agree, FSU.
Does anybody remember, like, 8 to 10 years ago when Florida State fans really wanted to leave the ACC and go join the Big 12? Like, when realignment was really hot? And it was like, Florida State and Clemson really want to leave the ACC and join the Big 12. That sounds so stupid to now.
It sounded kind of dumb
at the time. But, like, they thought, like, being in the Big 12 would make so much more money. And it's like, now the Big 12 is like, oh my god, when are those schools all going to leave?
But if FSU and Clemson did leave for the Big 12, they probably would have been pretty well off.
I mean, maybe, but it'd also be stupid to move across the country.
West Virginia did it.
It would be kind of dumb to move.
Yeah, West Virginia did it because what was their option?
Yeah, they're
going to. Let's stay in the American. Let's see how that goes.
They probably should have gotten in. I know the academic. With all the scandals.
Well, the spot wasn't open. Maryland hadn't left yet. Yeah, Louisville took Maryland's spot.
I think that was the Big 12 preview. Sad we didn't compare anybody to Lady Bird.
There's nobody in the Big 12 that really exhibits the spirit of Bobby Hill either.
Yeah.
Bobby Hill's a Pac-12. He's like Arizona.
He absolutely is.
Just a good time.
Okay.
For the entertainment.
That's how we finish this thing. King of the Hill characters who are absolutely teams from other conferences. Go.
Connie is probably like Vanderbilt. Not as smart as you.
Just the smartest in her shit.
Smartest one in the room, yeah. Joe Jack is Arizona State.
Are you just naming everybody Arizona State?
Yeah.
No, Bobby like Hill's every Arizona, tertiary character.
Bobby Hill's Arizona. He's not that dumb, but he's pretty lazy. Jeez. I could do this all day, actually. Didn't care. Like, who is Patch Booth? Played by Brad Pitt. I think that's... Who's Nebraska?
Who's Chuck Mangione? There's the question.
That's Missouri.
They just play their trumpet really loud, let you know they're there. And it's A&M. The same damn song every time.
Oh, that's Tennessee then.
Yeah.
Just Rocky Top over and over.
That fits. Pretty good, like 20 years ago.
And also, Nebraska is absolutely Violet Dutree. Just left and killed the whole goddamn thing. Just the whole fucking league's dead.
Who is BYU?
Someone desperately trying to get in?
Who's like someone who tried to get on the...
BYU is Family Guy. Wishes it was this good, but it never can be.
It just never will be. That is not part of the OG
and only
crew.
Fucking white people will talk about that piece of shit show.
Which conference is Bob Berger? Like, who's the conference that's going to represent the important?
That's the ACC.
The ACC.
So Bob Berger's is the ACC.
Yeah, see that. Well,
also, like, people in the Northeast are the only people who's now care about the ACC. And that's the only people I've ever heard talk about Bob's Burgers.
Oh, no, you haven't been on Black Twitter. Constant. Either Bob Burgers is trash or the best show ever. We'll never know. A constant debate. But anything else?
All I know about Bob's Burgers is the girl character who loves butts.
Tina, good character.
Maybe that's
just loves butts. Let's see. It's gotta be, you know. Maybe who's Gilbert? Who's Gilbert Fontaine?
Who is Z-Bear. Gilbert Fontaine?
Oh, Z-Bear, oh, Z-Bear 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 oh,
yeah. Who's the gayest? Who's the gayest member?
The gayest member. Who's
the gayest?
I don't know. I don't know if anyone in the Big 12 would stand being gay.
It's TCU.
And that's just, even rich, them. They're like, no.
They're rich private school kids. Tulane. Tulane is Gibber.
Yeah, Tulane. Because, like, in the SEC, I think the gayest one. Mississippi State.
No, it's Ole Miss.
No.
I'm with Mississippi State. Ole Miss, you know, they got the runner. I mean, they used to hang people on campus.
No, it's South Carolina.
South Carolina could be gay.
South Carolina.
Yeah.
They just all go down to Charleston, and then, you know.
Before we get out of here, anything else?
Oh man, my mind expanded with so many possibilities. I have no hatred in my heart.
I only have one.
That's like saying, yeah, fuck Australia, fuck Ole Miss, fuck the Queen. Like that's just standard. Oh, where does your brother-in-law stand on the Darren? Darren?
No, I'm here. I'm trying to fathom how to answer that question. That's just aching to. What do you say to something that's you've only known since birth? God, she's been there since the 50s, right? Like, what else are you supposed
to? She was there in the 40s. She was
She
stayed in Buckingham Palace during the bombing.
God, what a good life just to not really do just anything.
Just to sit on your ass and wear dumb hats.
Wearing those hats, not worth it. Those things are like totally 50 not
worth it. Totally not worth it. It'll be real fun with the day they can finally sing God Save the King. So cool that they changed their national anthem to whoever's in power.
It's very progressive.
Yeah.
The British Isles.
The British.
England! Progressive! yeah. I mean, well, this show has one stance and one stance only, and that's fucked.
Well, thank you for entering the Papa John's hot zone.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Thanks
for forward to hearing the rest of you guys' previews.
Yeah, thanks to Darren, thanks to Papa John's, thanks to Garlic Butter.
thanks to our other sponsor, Twitter, InfoWars.
at Jack Dorsey, or at Jack. You know, this show has been brought to you by every problematic asshole on the internet.
James Gunn, Mike Stanonovich, everybody. Thank you for all of your time.
This is the official podcast of Dave Bautista.
And Asbestos. Thank you to the good people at the Asbestos.
Asbestos.com.
Yes.
Our official sponsor.
We're back.
You thought you had us, but nah, man, we're back. Bringing you all the asbestos you can. And on that note, thank you, Darren. It's been a pleasure, as always.
As always.
Thank you, Zach. We do this every week, but thank you anyway. Fuck the Queen. Fuck Australia. Fuck Ole Miss. And play the music.